Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another Premier League preview podcast. Normally, these are exclusive to Patreon and our wonderful Patreon members, but I did say we would release this for everybody today, given that it is a North London derby this weekend. It's a big game. Everyone's excited, and we didn't talk a great deal about it on the main pod today. So this preview podcast is free for everyone if you're listening to it on Patreon. Thank you very much. If you're listening to it on the main feed, you could sign up for our Patreon if you want, get exclusive content and support everything that we do. It's patreon.com/arseblog. With that out of the way, delighted to welcome to the show to talk about this big game, Phil Costa. Hello, Phil.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for having me. I feel like with that intro, we just sort of teased our ankles a bit for the Patreon, you know, just lifted the skirt up slightly. So,
hey, why not? Why not? Drawn. If it does sound a little bit different, I am in London right now. I'm in a sort of hotel room in London, so I'm not in my usual office setup. It's a bit echoey. There seems to be some kind of kids daycare center at the back of where this is, so there's loads of screaming kids, which I don't know if you're going to pick up on the microphone, but hopefully that's not the case. Before we move on and talk about the game and you know the various permutations and the bits and pieces that we're going to all think about as we go into this one tomorrow, I suppose you should talk a little bit about Emile Smith Rowe and the announcement yesterday that he's had surgery on an ongoing groin problem. Mikel Arteta spoke about it today, said they tried to do all kinds of things to avoid surgery, but ultimately that's the decision that they've come to. It is a blow, Phil, obviously, because October, we've got 9 games and there's another 4 games in the first couple of weeks of November before we break for the World Cup. So it would be better, obviously, if he was around. But there's still a lot of football to play after the World Cup when we come back. And I guess the sensible thing is to use this period of, you know, 10 to 12 weeks to make sure we get him fully fit.
I mean, yeah, I think that's what it is. I think it's a big shame for Arsenal and for him personally, because after the kind of the, I'm not sure it was a breakthrough season, but he was one of our most productive players, one of our better players, particularly in the first half of last season. So he couldn't really build on that at all. But for me, I think if you kind of feel like you can put this issue to bed with the surgery and maybe think, look, the World Cup's here. It's not a busy schedule as it would have been in other seasons. So maybe they're just going to try and get it done, get it off the list, and we'll try and get him back in as best shape as possible. But yeah, for me, he hasn't looked right for a while. I think Clive made the point on the Arsenal Vision podcast this week about seeing how players run and how they move, you know, like in their sort of mechanics. And he was speaking about Aaron Ramsey, Thomas Partey, and I think Smith Rowe was the same. He just kind of lacked that burst, lacked that little bit of energy and you know, where he's so quick over the first 5 yards. And for a while, I never saw him comfortable. I don't know if you noticed that, but I think it was just, you know, something that he needed to do in terms of the long term. And hopefully this can be the end of it and we'll nurse him back to full fitness as soon as possible.
Yeah, fingers crossed, because, you know, people forget he was our second highest scorer last season. I think he did 11 goals in all competitions. But I agree, he hasn't really looked fully fit for quite a while. When you look at the second half of last season, he was in and out. He appeared in 12 of the last 13, but he might have only started 4 or 5 of them. And I do wonder as well, you know, when we got to the end of last season, we were thinking, you know what? You know who needs a rest? Who absolutely needs a rest? Smith Rowe. Just let him go on holiday. Let him recuperate. Let him do whatever sort of bits of fitness and rehab he needs to do. But, of course, he went away with the England under-21s and played three games in 10 days, which I'm not sure was the best thing for him, given how little he played in preseason. So, you know, managing what appears to be like a – it's a sort of an issue that's run through his career, if you like, because he went on loan to RB Leipzig, and I think he played just a couple of minutes because he had hip/groin injuries and the various bits and pieces that he's had. It does seem like maybe they are all connected to this one major issue, major in inverted commas, but sort of the persistent issue, if you like.
Yeah, I mean, it was initially reported as sort of growth-related problems, wasn't it? I mean, it happens to a lot of people, I'm sure. Like, you know, certainly with me, I had really bad growing pains because I had quite a quick growth spurt. And in my knees, it was, you know, waking up a lot of mornings in a lot of pain. So I guess whether it's your knees, your groins, your ankles, we have to consider that these are young men who are still growing, who are still filling into their bodies at, you know, the elite level. So they need to be managed as carefully as possible. And like you said, if there wasn't a way to get him through this through, you know, rehabilitation and stretching or yoga or Pilates or whatever they tried, I think this is just the best thing for him long-term, even though the short-term consequences for both him and us as a side look a bit shaky before the World Cup, because you look at the depth charts, you look at the fixtures coming up, and you're a bit like, maybe we might be a little bit exposed here. And you could see that we did try to go for a winger in the summer, even if it was a bit tentative with, you know, Pedro Neto and others being mentioned. But let's see. Let's see. It's a chance for potentially some others, Marquinhos, Reece Nelson, to come back into the side. So we just have to hope that they can fill us in and help us out until he comes back.
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking at Marquinhos as the sort of replacement / depth option for Bukayo Saka on the right, particularly when we're talking about the Europa League games, the question about who plays on the left is a big one, because Gabriel Martinelli played there against FC Zurich. You can't play Martinelli on the left for 90 minutes in a Premier League game and then play him 90 minutes in a Europa League game and then play him again. So, I mean, I had literally forgotten about Reece Nelson when I was considering the options. He hasn't played a lot on the left, but, you know, Arteta spoke today at his press conference about how they're going to need everybody during this October period. Like, if you are going into, you know, you've got a North London derby tomorrow, the following weekend you're playing Liverpool, you probably want to make as many changes as possible when you're facing Bodo Glimt in midweek. That is the kind of fixture which allows you to do that. Surely Reece Nelson has to come into the equation. I don't think he's got a long-term future at Arsenal, but I do think that in this very short term anyway, it is an opportunity for him to play, put himself in the shop window a bit, and also a chance for Mikel Arteta to rest Gabriel Martinelli because he's going to need it.
Definitely. And it's interesting because Reece Nelson actually started the first, second game, I think, at home against Chelsea, the one that we lost when Bernd Leno made that mistake at the end and Jorginho scored, even though he should have been sent off. Not that I'm salty about it still or anything, but he actually featured quite a bit early on under Mikel Arteta. So maybe, look, I agree with you. I don't see a long-term future for him here, unless we've got some Eddie Nketiah-like resurgence, in the next few months. But in terms of having a capable body who's, you know, we know he can play at that level, and just to come in and fill in Europe to give others a rest, I think he's more than capable. Can play on the left, can play on the right. It's a good chance for Marquinhos as well. So, look, I mean, they're in the squad for a reason. They're there to be used and to be selected. So, it's not ideal, but this is a situation we find ourselves in. So let's just see how we go.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that every club has to deal with. And, you know, when you boil it right down, I know he's missed a couple of weeks, but we're going to miss Smith Rowe for 6 weeks. And then hopefully by the time football returns after the World Cup break, on December 26th, you know, he will only have missed 6 weeks of the season because of the surgery. Whereas if it was a normal season, he could well be out for a lot longer and missing more games. So I'm not saying that's necessarily a silver lining, but I guess we have to look at it in that way. So look, let's move on and talk about Arsenal versus Spurs. This is a huge game. Mikel Arteta was asked today if what happened last season at White Hart Lane would be motivation. I don't think you need any more motivation when you're playing Spurs anyway. It is what it is. Everyone knows what the stakes are, how important the game is, you know, in this season and every season, just, you know, locally, but sort of in the wider picture again this season because of where both teams are in the Premier League. It's a huge game. I'm curious what you think about what Mikel Arteta said, where he said it's the nicest game of the season by a mile, for what it means for our supporters and the history of it. And I know what he means, because if we leave the Emirates Stadium tomorrow, if I'm walking out of there after a 3-0 Arsenal win, he's absolutely right that it is the nicest game of the season. But I do think the build-up, the pressure, the nerves, the anxiety, everything that people feel going into this game makes it a bit of a chore for some people.
No, I get it completely. I mean, like you, it was my birthday this week on Wednesday.
Oh, happy birthday.
And thank you, and to you. And I taken a couple of days off. I had some holiday left, and my boss was like, take some time. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to do it. And I regretted that decision immediately, because I now have time to think about the game. So I've been waking up. I'd even dreamed about it. I had a dream yesterday about it, and there was an injury to Bukayo Saka in the warm-up, and I was like, oh God, this can't be happening. And I woke up, my heart was racing. And you know, when you're working and you're doing other bits, you keep your mind off it. But it's a horrible game, because almost like the stakes for losing are worse than being able to boast and brag when you win. And interestingly enough, I think this game is bigger for us, much bigger than us, than it is for Spurs at this moment in time, because I feel like if they lose, they can compartmentalize it and kind of just say, look, we've still got however 30 many games left of the season. This is our first defeat of the season. It was away from home. I feel like they could easily just skip by it. But for us, for Arsenal, there's a few narratives that we maybe need to debunk, you know, some doubts that we maybe needed to debunk, and also what it means for us as a side, and how we sort of go into this sort of phase before the World Cup, because it's a really important one. It's a really important one.
Sure. The team news, such as it is, I wasn't really expecting Mikel Arteta to give much away. He came back. He said the boys, you know, they look like they're in good shape. You know, looks like they're in good condition. Now, there were some players who obviously had some injury issues. Thomas Partey went away with Ghana, didn't play, had a knee problem. They said he was going to be all right. Then he came back. Alexander Zinchenko didn't go away with Ukraine. Kieran Tierney came off for Scotland with a head injury. You would imagine that there's just a bit of common sense involved in that decision to not play him in the other one. Takahiro Tomiyasu went away, played 90 minutes for Japan, and then came back. Curious sort of wording around that. It was like club circumstances. And we don't quite know what that means. Some people have taken that to think that there is an arrangement between Arsenal and the Japan FA. And actually, Arteta did say that about Tierney. He said the best way to look after a player is have clear communication and be honest and transparent. And with Scotland, that is the case for sure. So maybe that applies to other international FAs and what have you. But when he was asked who was going to be fit, he just said they're all part of the team. I mean, I get it. Like, you know, he does not want to give anything away. He really doesn't want to give anything away about who's available, what system we might play. You know, even though I think, you know, ultimately that kind of information doesn't really have a huge impact. I don't think Tottenham will be looking too hard at who we've got and who we don't have, just because of the kind of game it is and the way that they play anyway. But, I mean, you have to hope, let's say, that Thomas Partey is fit. You have to hope that Zinchenko and Tierney are fit. It gives him a decision to make in those areas. But maybe he's just being a little bit coy ahead of this one, and we should take that as perhaps a bit of a positive.
That's how I took it initially. but you never know. I think if players were out, I think he maybe would have been minded to say. But especially with Tomiyasu, especially with Tierney, I feel like those were just like conversations with the, you know, with the respective national team saying, look, they haven't had the greatest record of fitness record in recent months. Just give us a chance to work with them. We've got a big game on Saturday. I thought, did you see that compilation of Tomiyasu, by the way, playing against the USA?
No, I didn't.
Unbelievable.
See him. Ooh, I did see him make an amazing goal line clearance.
Yes. Yeah. He was playing left center back.
That's where he plays for them. Yeah.
His like left foot was just unbelievable. He was like breaking the lines with his left foot. Anyway, is he an option? Maybe we can talk about it after. But yeah, I think those two were more of like a, you know, sensible conversations to be had. Whereas there's been a bit of mystery over Partey and Zinchenko. I mean, Zinchenko, we haven't heard anything since the start of the international break, and there's been nothing on Instagram. There's been like no, you know, working hard on training or any of that stuff. So I think, I don't know if they've been told to do that or if that's, you know, there's still some uncertainty around them, but I'm hopeful. I think with Partey, they were playing Nicaragua in the second game. And I hope there was just, look, guys, this is a, we need him. We need him on Saturday. You don't need him against Nicaragua. And I think I'm quietly optimistic with Zinchenko, but if we need to play Tierney, it's not the end of the world. So, but it is funny. I feel like Mikel Arteta wasn't always like this with the team news, but in the last kind of six to nine months or so, he's just been kind of so mysterious and stoic about who's fit and who's not. So it's funny. At the end of the day, it's a bit of, you know, bit of something to watch out for in the press conference.
I'm looking at the training pictures, the latest training pictures, and I see Martin Odegaard, I see Fabio Vieira, I see William Saliba, I see Marquinhos, I see Eddie Nketiah, I see Bukayo Saka, Granit Xhaka's in there, Gabriel Jesus is in there. I don't see any of the players who are sort of on the list, if you like, of guys who might be injured. So I don't see Tierney. I don't see Zinchenko. I don't see Partey. I don't see Tomiyasu. But I'm almost certain that that is entirely deliberate. That before Stuart or David uploaded the pictures to where they upload them, you know, are those guys in there? No. Okay. Make sure that those guys, we keep Tottenham on tenterhooks going into this. But
yeah, just put those in the recycling bin. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. One man. I don't want to put too much on one young man's shoulders, but William Saliba has been absolutely fantastic this season. He's been calm and cool and composed and assured and has defended really well. I think maybe his most difficult game was Manchester United. It's fair to say, as much as it pains me to do so, that the forward line he's going to face on Saturday, tomorrow, is a much tougher proposition than any forward line he has faced so far in his Arsenal career. I'm not saying this is a make or break day for William Saliba by any stretch of the imagination. Defending isn't down to one person. It's a collective thing. How we play the game, and we'll talk about that now in a moment, is an interesting thing to consider. But it is a test for him, isn't it? This is going to be a game where he is properly Premier League tested, if that makes sense.
Totally. And actually, he's coming off the back of a little difficult fixture with France. I don't think it was his best game, but it was kind of a very young rotated side, so I don't think it was too big a deal. But in general, I think he's been so impressive, quite colossal actually in most of the games. I think of Crystal Palace, I think of Brentford. Just the kind of the calm and composure, as you mentioned before, has been a real bonus to our backline. But importantly, I go back to the, as much as we don't want to do it, go back to the game that we lost towards the end of last season. And the back line of Cedric, Rob Holding, Tomiyasu was at left back, and Gabriel, was it Gabriel?
Yeah.
On like
was
half,
Gabriel,
half a hamstring.
Yeah.
We were down to the bare bones in that game. And if you, let's be honest, if you want defenders who can equip themselves in space, Rob Holding and Cedric down that side with Heung-Min Son is not the partnership you want there. But with Ben White and Saliba, I'm, you know, a lot more confident in their abilities to A, run backwards, and B, handle themselves a bit physically against, yeah, like you said, two of the best, or even three of the best, if Richarlison plays, or I think Kulusevski's an injury doubt, but I think Kane, Richarlison and Son would be a front line for any defense to struggle with. So look, undoubtedly it's a big test. I think you mentioned the Man United game there, and I think that was largely down to game state, particularly with how stretched things got in the second half. But there were a couple of moments when Rashford and I think it was Alanga managed to get back in behind him. But look, I think we need to put him there and see. We need to, you know, this is a test for, as much as it is for him, it's as much for us and the club to really evaluate him, because I'm not saying any of the teams we've played so far have been easy, but this is where he earns his money, right, in these games. And I think he's got it in him to be able to defend well against Harry Kane. For some reason, whenever Kane plays at the Emirates, I see him quite muted. And that's been down to a lot of good individual performances. I remember last year, Gabriel just boshed him. Ben White just boshed him off the pitch. But I can never tell. All it takes is one run from Son in behind and, you know, and then he's got an assist or whatever. But with Saliba, I just feel a level of confidence with this back four now. They seem very grown up and sure of themselves. And they've got a nice mix of physical attributes that for me suit not only each other, but the Premier League. And look, this is what you earn your money for. These are the games that you want to play in. And I think he's more than capable to rise to that occasion.
Sure. And I think you're right to point out that this, you know, whatever back four he picks tomorrow, if it's Tierney or Zinchenko at left back, if it's Ben White or Tomiyasu at right back, you know, it's Saliba instead of Holding. It is far, far stronger, you know, and at a better point in the season where, like you say, people aren't, you know, running around on half empty or just trying to hang on because of injury. The other one, of course, is Gabriel Jesus up front. You know, with all due respect to Eddie Nketiah, who did a very good job at the end of last season, you know, that's another one where you look at the difference in the team from last season compared to this season. Like, if Partey's fit, you know, Partey's playing instead of Elneny. Again, all due respect to Mo, but that's a different proposition for the Tottenham midfield. If you've got Partey, Xhaka and Odegaard, it is a little bit different than Elneny, Xhaka and Odegaard. Gabriel Jesus then leading the line. He is walking a bit of a disciplinary tightrope as well. He's on four yellow cards. One yellow card will see him miss the game against Liverpool. Can he even consider that? Is that something he can think about going into this game? Or does he just play the way he always plays? And, you know, look, he can control certain aspects of it. You can use some common sense, like the yellow card he picked up against Brentford was easily avoidable, it's fair to say. Mm-hmm. So he could do that. But I guess he's got to focus on, you know, the way he what's the word I'm looking for? Like, he's a pest for the defenders. He's really going to hassle them and harry them, and the chips may fall where they may in terms of yellow cards.
It's a really difficult one because I think for sure it will be mentioned by Arteta and the you know, the training staff, his assistants. I'm sure they will have watched some video back and said, like you said before, maybe avoidable this one, or you know, maybe don't pull him back when you're running on the halfway line. But I think it's just who he is and how he plays. He wants to be involved. He likes the contact. And for me, I would just try and, you know, tell him to go out there and enjoy himself and play as he normally would. Because if you start to think about the next game or any consequences like that, maybe it will throw you off. And we can't afford that. We need him playing at 100%, accelerated down. And I've got no doubt that he will do that. Did you see his quotes in midweek, actually?
Yeah.
About how he feels free under Mikel Arteta.
Yeah, they were quite interesting. It's not the first time he's made them, is it? I don't know if you've got them there, but I remember them from a couple of weeks ago where he was talking to ESPN Brazil and he talked about, I'm not the robot or something that, you know, at Manchester City where you are just part of the Borg footballing collective. You do your thing and that's it, where there's not much room for expression. I think you've got the quotes there. So
yeah, I've got them here. He said the thing was with Guardiola and the way he understands football, it's up to you to accept it or not. If you don't accept it, thank you and let's go for another challenge. I accepted it for a while, but there came a moment when I said, I want something else for myself. I thanked him. I said, thanks for everything. He understood and we moved on. And then the next part was, I talked a lot with Arteta about Arsenal's style. He knows me. I know him. I understood clearly what he wanted from me. Now I'm free on the pitch, playing football with a smile on my face and trying to do my best all the time. So I think that's fairly telling. But even though it won't be a huge surprise to know that Guardiola's a bit stricter in that regard.
No, true. And like, for some players, it can just be the perfect thing. It can be the perfect way to get the best out of their talents. For some players who feel like they want to express themselves, who need a little bit of freedom to move around on the pitch, as we've seen with Jesus, to great effect, then obviously that's that's something that will give him confidence. And you know, he's played exceptionally well, and I think he's probably, you know, one or two, maybe more goals behind where he should be in terms of his mm-hmm. his tally. So we'll keep fingers crossed he can add to that tomorrow. Last season, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, when we went to White Hart Lane, you wonder if the outlook should have been a bit more conservative. Ahead of the game, Mikel Arteta was talking about, we're going to play our game, which is great. But when you're playing your game, as you say, with a right back and a right center back pairing, which isn't your first choice by any means, you're playing your right back at left back, you're without Thomas Partey, et cetera, et cetera. You're missing some fundamental pieces, which allow you to play the way you play to the best effect. I look at this lineup that, you know, we could potentially put out tomorrow, and I think, well, we're at home. We've got the players. We've got the confidence. We're sitting top of the table. The crowd will be up for it. You've got to go for it. You've got to play as much as possible in the way that you are training to play every single day, right? That's how you do it. This is what you're spending all those hard yards on the training ground for, all those hours on the training ground. But the other side of that, of course, is that that's kind of what they want you to do. I mean, I remember having this conversation. I can't remember if it was you or with somebody else on the podcast when Jose Mourinho was in charge of Tottenham. Like, this is what they want you to do. They want you to play. They want you to have the ball, and they're going to try and kill you in transition and kill you on the break. How do you find the balance then? You know, when the onus is on you as the home side, and when the crowd is behind you, and when, you know, the players are full of confidence and playing well, how do you temper the desire to be as progressive as possible when you know the opposition are lethal or can be lethal when they attack you when the ball breaks down?
It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think last year we got caught in the headlines a little bit, because if we won that game, we would have secured top four. And I think there was a real kind of desire to put the Arsenal flag down on that pitch and say, look, there's a change happening here. And very quickly we learned that wasn't the case. But you're right. I think last year was slightly mismanaged. But this year, you're right. You're completely right. The onus is on Arsenal. We're the home team. We're the ones, well, in air quote, unquote, form. We're playing good football. We're playing well. We seemingly have a clean-ish bill of health. And I think the crowd is going to be absolutely bouncing on Saturday. But you're right. Anybody who knows Antonio Conte, who's watched his sides before, the fact that he likes to break with two or three excellent forwards is hardly a surprise to anybody. I mean, if you look at any side he's been successful in, the team he won, the Chelsea team he won the title with, was basically just the same move every week, Fabregas clipping the ball over to Diego Costa with some Eden Hazard sprinkled in between. They won the league that year. Inter Milan, eight people behind the ball, knock it up into the channel to Romelu Lukaku or Lautaro Martinez, let them score. I think they scored like 37 goals between them that season. They won the league. Two players again. And now you see them. They have the back three, they have the wing backs, they have Højbjerg. You know, it's probably going to be Bentancur in midfield. But they're there to keep things tight, be physical, be strong, keep that central area packed. And what are they going to do? They're going to look for those runs in behind. So it's really nothing novel on a tactical level. It's just, this is the standard is just really high. For me personally, I think we're in a good enough shape and confident and comfortable enough in our tactical ideas and our system to really impose ourselves. I think the start is crucial. I think we need to start well. We can't afford them time to settle into their shape and settle on the ball. And I don't think we will do that because I think we've started well generally in most games this season. And especially in a game like that, when the adrenaline's pumping, the crowd's up for it early on, it's kind of the perfect recipe to really get onto them. But as we mentioned, all it takes is just Kane getting his head up for 1 second, slotting the ball through, and Son's through. So I understand the need for balance and maybe just holding that thought in the back of your mind. But I think over the years, I can think of so many top performances against top sides. Even stretching back to Arsene Wenger, when we had the sort of Cazorla Coquelin pivot of us just going really hard, really fast early on and killing the game as early as possible. Even last year, we scored 3 goals in half an hour. I mean, I know it's very different. The circumstances are different. But for me, I think if you focus too much on the opposition, you can lose yourself slightly. And I think it's a good opportunity to really relish having that responsibility and onus on you to really put down a marker and say, you know, we lost against United, but that was just a fluke on the day. This is a good team we're playing, and this is going to be a good performance to beat them. I hope. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, well, I hope so too. You know, I think the thing is, you know, they we can talk about this, and I'm sure that this exact conversation has been played out at London Colney between Mikel Arteta and his staff and the players, and the there won't be any lack of awareness about how Tottenham want to play, about what they're good at, and how they hurt you. So it's about recognizing, being able to recognize the danger as quickly as possible. You know, that when you do have the opportunity to go forward, maybe it doesn't have to be 100%. It can be like 85%, if that makes sense, where you do have somebody who's recognizing the fact that, look, this is a promising move. If this breaks down, though, we could be in trouble if they transition. So I'm just going to, you know, hold my position here, whether that's Thomas Partey, whether that's Granit Xhaka not making a lung-busting run into the box to get on the end of a cross, whatever it might be. I do think that's going to play into it. Final thing, I mean, you mentioned the crowd. You mentioned the support. This is going to be my first home game of the season. Really looking forward to it. You know, everybody has been speaking about what the atmosphere is like. The crowd is the 12th man is perhaps a little bit of a cliche, but at the same time, we've seen something develop and something happen at the Emirates between the home fans and between the team. And it's symbiotic in a way that, you know, if the team are performing, the crowd are behind them. And even, you know, go to the last game of last season where we went and played Everton. It was really disappointing because of what happened before, but the crowd were still there and still right behind the team. So there's a part to play for the 60,000 who are going to be in there tomorrow.
Absolutely. And I'm very jealous that you're going to be there because it's been a while since I've been to a derby, and I've got no doubt that it's going to be completely loud, hostile. It's going to be rocking. And those are the games, not only for us, but for the players as well, that this is why you play the game. This is why you follow the game, to be there in that moment. And I think Arteta's done a really good job of managing to not only mend that relationship, but maintain it and even elevate it. And I think there's just a great deal of trust within everybody. The fans trust the players. They trust Arteta. They trust Edu and Mertesacker behind the scenes and Vinay and all those guys. And I think you're just seeing that shine through. I think just to touch tactically quickly, I think that whether Thomas Partey plays is going to be really important because he just adds an added layer of structure and stability to that midfield that I don't feel like we've cracked with Sambi yet. And if Sambi is to be played, then it alters the role of Granit Xhaka because he's going to have to be a bit more conscious of what he's doing in the opposite side. So I'm really hoping that Partey's available because I think that's an area where there's a quite a down, not a downgrade, but there's a big difference in level.
Sure.
You know, because even I think if Elneny was fit and Thomas Partey wasn't available, he'd chuck in Elneny tomorrow, I'm sure.
No, I agree. I agree. I think
just because he knows where to stand. He's reliable on the ball. So that's what I'm thinking. Just quickly as well, Tomiyasu, would you be tempted? Maybe at anywhere along that back line, left back, even right back. Tottenham are a big side.
They are a big side. I mean, I would be tempted. I mean, this is the great thing about this season, where if you decided tomorrow to play Tomiyasu and not Ben White, I'd be like, okay, that's good. I love Ben White. I think he's been fantastic this season, and I actually don't see him losing his place tomorrow. But if he went with Tomiyasu, I'd be okay. That seems fair. I do think the one I would consider a bit more is maybe Tierney versus Zinchenko, where I think if we're talking about the need to offset some of what Spurs are good at, I think I would lean a bit more towards Tierney for this one rather than Zinchenko, because I do think, you know, as a technical footballer, Zinchenko has got the edge, no two ways about it. But as a defender, as a left back, and as somebody who's used to defending in those dangerous areas, I think Tierney has, you know, the edge in that one. So that's kind of what I would be leaning towards there. I don't know if you agree, disagree with that one, but just to be slightly mindful of the threat, I think Tierney versus Zinchenko is where I would go. And if you've got Zinchenko as an option off the bench, then it does give you a great way of changing things.
I think it was a head injury, so as long as there's sort of no risk of any concussion or anything serious, I think Tierney should keep his place. And I think, to be fair, in the last few weeks, he's been excellent. So I've got no issue at all with him coming in there. And I think for those kind of games as well, I see this giving him something extra. You know, I think Tierney's kind of made for these days. And for me, he keeps his place, no doubt. I've got a little suspicion about Tomiyasu as well, maybe coming in at right back. But we'll see. I think, like you said, we've got two great options there. So it was just interesting because I think Tottenham often like to cross. They like to be direct, big team, Dyer at the back, Romero, Sanchez. You know, they've got some really tall players, particularly from set pieces. So it was just, I think Tommy coming in would be... maybe not the worst decision in the world, but let's see.
Yeah, the big reveal will be about 11:30 tomorrow when Mikel Arteta releases the team and we find out who's injured and who's not injured and who's available and who's not. We'll keep fingers crossed. It's going to be an exciting day. Phil, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you. Enjoy the day. Let's bring the 3 points back to Dublin.
Yeah, let's do that. Well, I'll leave the 3 points here in London, but I'll bring myself back to Dublin.
You can bring the metaphorical 3 points with you.
Yeah, exactly. All right. To you guys here, thank you very much indeed for listening. For our Patreon members, thank you. As always, we'll have more for you during the week next week. We will have an Arscast Extra for you on Sunday evening. James and I will be recording Sunday evening. So let's keep fingers crossed for the right result, that the good guys win out in the North London Derby tomorrow. And we will catch you on the next one.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arseblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arseblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/arseblog.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.